first is in reference to a proposed contract with Glatfelter Pulpwood, one of which is a timber purchase contract, a clearing contract, one of which is a thinning operation. With me today, I have Steve Rader from Glatfelter, as well as Joel Gibbons. Joel is a young engineer that has joined the county in the last, I think it's almost been a year, June. I was trying to get her to come up and give the presentation, but she's not quite ready yet, so maybe next time.
She didn't say, you don't want to sacrifice her quite yet.
Several years ago, the county purchased properties around the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility. Approximately 1,200 belonged to Glatfelter. And at the time of the purchase, we actually had some discussions about continuing a relationship with Glatfelter as far as the management of the property. And we even met with Glatfelter a time or two, but it just took us a while to kind of get organized and turn our attention back to that. As I mentioned, we have two contracts that we're proposing. The first is a sort of a land management contract. It would be a thinning operation on the approximate 1,200 acres that was the old Glatfelter property. This thinning operation is designed to maximize the growth of the existing timber so that when we harvest it in the future, it'll improve our profits. And it's a pay-as-you-cut operation with payment made based upon the tonnage that they removed. They've offered prices to us, and we've had those prices reviewed by the state forester, who agreed they're very appropriate for the value of the timber. The state forester is familiar with the property when we actually purchased it way back when. He was involved in looking at the timber and trying to give us a valuation of it. The second contract is a clear-cutting operation. We're moving forward in the next several years for the expansion of the Inland Bays facility. And we'll actually expand to the east and to the north on the old Townsend Inc. property that we had a lease on originally, but we hadn't expanded as of yet. We went in, we purchased that property, and there's about 119 acres of pine and hardwood trees. They're spread out on four stands, and if we're going to, you know, extend our spray irrigation facilities for this area, we would have to go in and clear it. However, this gives us an opportunity to come in, timber it first before we do the clearing, and it'll generate a revenue of $65,620 for that timber to be harvested. Again, that's Glatfelter coming in and doing the work. And once again, we had the state forester look at these prices, and he agreed that they were reasonable. All this work, this clearing work, has to be done within 1 year, but the thinning operation would be over a five-year period. And there's a stipulation that Glatfelter will adhere to the Delaware forestry best management practices, and all sites will be left in a condition satisfactory to the county upon completion of the harvesting. Steve, do you have anything you want to add?
I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
I don't think we got any tree specialists up here, I don't think.
No, we're down at the back.
We should bring Mr. Kramer back up.
No, Dan's taking a break. Good thing, pressure. Okay.
You know, okay. We're going to need these trees with all these source water ordinances that we're introducing and amendments and all that. We're probably going to need a lot more than 119 acres or whatever it is you've got.
If there's not any questions, I have a motion I can read.
Letter. Please, Mike.
Be it moved based upon a recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council approves the two contractors with Glatfelter Pulpwood Company for the management and removal of timber at the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility.
Motion, gentlemen.
I move.
Second.
We move to second and we approve the contract as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers out?
Right, right.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I have a handout from
the I've got about 10 trees right here in Motor Source.
I have this.
I'll get it.
Okay. Save a tree.
Save a tree.
Tree.
No, I said, Christ, we're killing them quicker than they can grow them. That's for damn sure.
This is an item we've talked about a few times in the past. It's appeared on the agenda a couple times, and we've taken it back off. I just want to go over, this is the proposed temporary wastewater service agreement with Artesian Wastewater. Basically, I'm going to read the bullet points. It's regarding Windstone development. Windstone is located on Route 88 and has been approved for 360 units. The project is located adjacent to the West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District, but because it's outside the sewer planning area, private utility Artesian Wastewater Management, Inc. was selected as the wastewater public utility provider, and I believe we have Mr. Rodney Wyatt and John Stater from Artesian are present today. Community spray irrigation wastewater management system had been approved to serve the site. But instead of operating many individual community wastewater systems, Artesian proposes to connect the system to its Island Farms Regional Wastewater Management Facility, which recently received county conditional use approval but is not yet existing. Given the development schedules for the Windstone community versus the Island Farms regional project, Artesian has requested a temporary wastewater service connection into the West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District. And as proposed, Artesian Wastewater Management would connect on a temporary basis into the existing county sewer. Sussex County will bill Artesian the West Rehoboth service charge plus transmission and treatment front footage for each home that connects to the system. The term of the agreement would be for 5 years or the completion of the regional treatment plant and transmission lines, whichever comes first, and a maximum of 100 homes can be connected. If 100 homes did connect, it would generate a stream of revenue of about $40,000 per year. If a temporary holding tank was employed as an option, that would be an available option. The advantage of the proposed connection, obviously, is it would eliminate the negative impacts of pumping and hauling the wastewater across the county by tanker truck. The temporary connection would not overload the existing West Rehoboth wastewater collection and transmission system, as there is capacity on a short-term basis to serve up to 100 EDUs in that section of the sewer shed. And Artesian would be responsible for all construction costs necessary to make the temporary connection.
Question, gentlemen?
Yeah. Mr. Rizzo, how many houses are there now?
I'm not exactly sure. Rodney, can you answer that?
None.
Big zero. I drove through it recently. I didn't see any, but I wasn't 100% sure I was in one phase.
Have we ever done this before, gone outside of the district? I mean, I understand it's a temporary thing. I don't have a problem with it, but I'm also hearing that there's capacity discrepancies with some others that we've already approved in that's in the district. And as of this morning, we've not worked out those differences that I'm aware of. And until we do, I sort of thought this thing would wait. But
could you, Dale, share with us these discrepancies you're knowledgeable of?
No, I'm not an engineer, Mr. Cole. All I know is there was a question about if there was enough EDU capacity for three or four that are the county's approved.
I think there's a way to work it out. This project's located on the north side of Red Mill Pond. There are four projects proposed on the south side of Red Mill Pond, basically the Route 9 corridor. And we have gone to those projects. The Vineyards is one of them, the largest of them, actually. And we've said, you need, before you can build your project, or as a condition of building your project, there are certain improvements in the collection and transmission system that have to be made. On that side of the pond, yes, there are transmission shortfalls. On the north side of the pond, there's not. We actually initiated that. Artesian approached us, and we saw an opportunity that, you know, we are a utility, and we had an opportunity to help a fellow utility. For us, it was as simple as that. It's kind of grown beyond that.
But it's just for 5 years or something?
Maximum 5 years.
In 5 years, whatever that capacity they've been using, we'll go back into our
I have a question. Most municipalities, this is not unusual after I looked into it, municipalities sell services, utility services outside their boundaries. However, they charge more for it. They charge 50% more than the normal.
No, they double.
I mean, they do do it.
Well, we've fallen prey to that with the town of Georgetown has talked to us about charging 1.5 times the amount.
Every place has
100%.
50%.
Not much. They double it.
I'm just saying that is a practice. I mean, it is temporary. It is right outside the zone, but basically it follows the same guidelines that municipalities have been doing for years around the county. But they do charge additional fee for it.
Like, but with the marketplace the way it is, they may not even build 100 homes in 5 years.
Well, if they do, then they're out. Or they have to come back to get another agreement.
Or have to get another extension. Come back, or, you know, who's to say what the landscape is 5 years from now? You know?
Right.
But there's no automatic extensions. It just it's
no automatic.
Five. Yeah, I don't see any harm in it at this point. But
Pat,
Mr. Griffin, do you have a legal problem with this?
No. I mean, it's a matter of doing it by contract, which the county can enter into contracts of this type. It's not something that I was asked to review, but I'm sure that Mr. Robertson probably did.
Dale, unless you can show a connection here today, I mean, you raised some issue. I mean, if you can make a connection that issue you were raising and this impact one another, there's some connection here. I don't understand why we wouldn't just move on with this, because it sounds to me like you've heard something, but it's in a different part of this district or something. Like you said, there's shortfalls on one side of the creek, and there's the lake.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're trying to work out differences now with these, and but it's not been anything in writing yet. They're just verbal agreements.
We have a proposal that we're reviewing that was submitted to me last week.
So
that would address.
So some developers getting affected, and we're supposed to be worried that he may not get all the units he could get or something somewhere else, and that this one might affect it. Is that
totally used?
Huh?
They're talking totally.
Well, it's sort of a fair argument in that, you know, these projects are located within the district, and they're having hoops that they have to jump through. Got a project that's outside
the district.
All runs
the same spot, for lack of better words. Yeah.
Yeah, I would support it if we had these subdivisions had something in writing with them instead of a verbal agreement. That's just my issue.
Well, I can certainly say I've been sort of involved in this off and on, and, you know, some of the issues that Mr. Dukes is talking about. I've sat down with Mike a couple times, and I think they've spent expensive time and a lot of time making sure everybody's kind of like on board. And I don't think we have anything written, but I think we're at a point that we got most of the bugs worked out. So my personal opinion is I think we should keep moving. It's a temporary thing. It's 100 EDUs or 100, you know, so it's temporary. So
do a bump on the power charge?
I think certainly if that's something, I don't think anybody has a hard time. I think we should leave it up to the engineering department. We shouldn't get involved in the negotiation part to say that, you know, they should, you know, ask for something. Sorry, you know, go out in the public sector and look at some of the scales. And you know, for out-of-town service, and let them make a decision.
Well, we've got one. Mr. Eichmann's coming up with one in a few minutes.
I mean, 50%.
What's Georgetown going to charge us?
1.5.
Okay.
We should be in line with that.
Then, if you like that, then throw it in there and let's keep.
I don't like it, but that's. No.
I understand, Mr. Dukes. Well, somebody likes it that does like it. If they can throw it in, and then we'll keep moving.
Georgetown likes it, I'm sure.
Well. Is that cool? 50%. Dad,
the stream of revenue you've talked about is 40,000. That's only once they get the 100.
That's if you have 100.
And they may not get to the 100
right,
home.
Right.
We may not see anything.
I think it's unlikely.
We may not see anything for 1 year. It might be a couple years. So when you average it out over 40 or 5 years, we may not have made it. You know, may not have been worth the county's.
Well, we're not. We don't have a dime into it.
Being able to provide that service to them is a value, like Mr. Rogers is, I think, alluding to. So, I mean, there is a question about that.
Okay. It's
legitimate.
If we're going to make the claim that it's really not fair for Georgetown to be charging us 1.5, then maybe we should set the example and What is a penalty?
No, I think.
Well, see, just because we're getting it doesn't mean we have to give it to everybody else. Is that the question?
Can I ask a question? The money that we would charge would go back into the district and help.
I would assume it would go into transmission expansion.
It would. Right. It would go help. It would help. Help the district out, right? So I think we ought to do whatever we can to help the district out. So.
Is there any additional cost that we're incurring that can justify this? I mean, just to charge because you can seems a little.
No, I think it's appropriate.
In reality, the service charge should cover it. I mean, it's the flow, the cost of treating the flow that we're actually charging the transmission fee, which is the mortgage on the transmission system, which it's kind of an extra cost thrown in already. But I don't know that they would object to the 1.5%. I'll throw that out to Rodney or John. Maybe they'll just agree to it sitting here.
They don't want to pay anything. They don't have to.
Is the 1.5 on the operations part? Or, I mean, we threw the transmission and treatment assessment fee in there as well to try to help out the district. Is it on both of them or is it on one of them? What are you proposing?
I think we're proposing both.
I can do it on the service charge.
What do we do with Golf Village? Just service charge for Golf Village, so maybe that's a fair way.
Service charge. Certainly would be charge on the service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I make a motion that we
modified.
Modified and add 1.5% on the service.
On the service.
Second.
Okay. Just gone. Okay. We'll get to vote on this motion first, which is add the 1.5. Rate increase on service only. Is that correct, Mike? That's the way
yes,
we're stated?
Yes, that is correct.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Rodney?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you.
All right.
And I should be back in with, I hope that like within a month on the agreement for those other four projects. And I think it's going the right direction. I think everybody's going to be
yeah,
satisfied.
Yeah, they said it is. They just would just don't have it in writing yet.
Yeah, right. Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
We got a motion. You know, we didn't vote on this.
Okay. So wait a minute, Mike. Let's go back. We only did the service. Let's go back and why don't you make another motion?
Got a motion
on the temporary service, and we just did the funding part of it.
Service part.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So everybody's cool with it.
So you want me to read a motion for the agreement? I was going to modify the motion that has the service charge being adjusted.
That's fine. Let's do that. Let's do that right now. Then that way we're covered for sure.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council approves the agreement with Artesian Wastewater Management Incorporated to provide temporary wastewater treatment and disposal to the Windstone Development with a modification to the service charge being adjusted by a factor of 1.5.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we approve the motion as stated by Mr. Izzo, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
See how easy that was.
Yeah, we've only been working on this since September 10th, 2007. That's a pretty good record for us.
We didn't shoot from the hip on it. We didn't shoot from the hip.
Oh, my God. John?
Do we ever?
We don't shoot from the hip, that's for sure. Or we do. Then we go back and redo it again about 10 times. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Basically, my item this morning doesn't require any action. I'm just here to kind of give you an update. On March the 28th, we'll be sending letters to all property owners discussing estimated construction costs, user charges, availability of absentee ballots, and the date, time, and location of a referendum for the Golf Village Sanitary Sewer District. There will be an official notice prepared and approved by county's legal staff. These notices will be posted on April 14th and advertised in local papers on April 23rd and the 30th. Absentee ballots will be available starting on March the 28th, with a deadline of return to our office being noon on April the 30th. The referendum vote will be held on May 1st, 2008 in Sussex County Council Chambers from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. And pending a successful referendum, someone from the engineering staff will return on May 6th with a resolution declaring Golf Village a sanitary sewer.
Gotcha.
All right.
Any questions? We got off easy today, John.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Executive session.
I'd like to make a motion. We recess to executive session regarding the land acquisition pending potential litigation, personnel, and collective bargaining.
You guys better go to lunch. Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Thank you.
You're going to make it, right?
No.
Kind of crazy here.